The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to The Punt Podcast. Dave Kellner, Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern here for a midweek full Premier League fixture list. Mr. Phelps chuckling to the side of me.
You couldn't wait to get started, could you? You're an eager beaver.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. It was a triumphant return to The Punt Podcast.
Yeah, I can see why.
At the weekend, I'm happy with the way things are going. Good morning, Derek.
Tip on your return. Excellent. I doubted you. We all doubted you, but Stoke did the business. Well done.
They did indeed. Let's get stuck into this midweek fixture list then. We'll start with the live game on Tuesday night, 7:45 p.m. kickoff, Aston Villa versus West Brom. Aston Villa 17-10, the draw in the market at 19-10, West Brom 15-8. Headline offers here, Christian Benteke to score and Aston Villa to win 9-2. Saido Berahino to score and West Brom to win is 5-1. Lee, we're all fully aware of Aston Villa's problems at the moment, struggling to score goals, only got 9 in their last 13 at home, and subsequently only won 1 of 11 at Villa Park recently. And Tim Sherwood's on a different planet if he thinks they can pick up 6 wins from here on out and survive. They'll be lucky to get 3 or 4.
It's absolutely just ridiculous, really. I can't believe that he's come out and said that. I mean, I know, you know, I don't want to be stealing Derek's thunder. I mean, he made his feelings quite clear about what he thought Tim Sherwood would offer Aston Villa, and it wasn't an awful lot. It was basically Championship football, and I find it hard to disagree with that. I mean, how is a team, I mean, even to say that, I think puts undue pressure on his players. A team who have won 5 games in 27, how does he expect them to win another 5 in the next 11, well, it was 12 games when he said it, 11 games now they've got. They look bereft. You know, you do not, very rare that a team changes their stats or their performance levels for the last 10 games. Wigan did it, didn't they? The season before they went down to the Championship. They just had that unbelievable run where they were winning games that you wouldn't have believed they could possibly win. I don't see Villa having that togetherness about them to do it. And I just don't see where the goals are going to come from. You know, we all know about the goal stats. Whether it's home or away, they've been poor. 9 goals at home this season, 4 away from home. I mean, it's just terrible. Someone tweeted a league table since Christmas over the weekend, and Villa were rock bottom of it. You know, they've just been on an absolutely dreadful run. You look at the form table; it's won none, drawn none, lost 6, scored 2, conceded 14. He's done nothing to arrest that slump, in my opinion. And West Brom, obviously, you know, they've got that the Pulis factor. Now, I'm not saying that's, you know, the most amazing thing in the world. It's going to be interesting because I think Tony Pulis is doing really well with them. Anyone who tipped up West Brom 1-0 over Southampton at the weekend, you know, deserves a pat on the back, I think. But what he does away from home is different to what he does at home. He traditionally goes away and gets a point. And I don't see why he would change that mentality now. It is a big derby, and I think he'll go away and look for a point again. I'm tempted to go for West Brom just because they can outscore Villa, but I don't think Pulis will go there with a win in mind. There's no need. He's got 30 points on the board. They're edging the way towards safety. They will get to safety. They've drawn at Sunderland, they've drawn at Burnley, they've drawn at Everton, they've drawn at West Ham. They're the last 4 away games. And when he took over, I said at the time, look back to what he did at Palace when they were in trouble. He went away and he got draws. He ground out draws. I think he'll do the same again here. Very tempted to go with West Brom, but I'm going to pick the draw at 19-10. If you're looking for a goal scorer, then you know, take your pick between Berahino or Adai. I'd go with Berahino just because I think he's a better player than Adai. I think he's got that sharpness back. Fantastic goal at the weekend. 19-10 any time's a tremendous price for a player of his quality.
I was just looking at that, Lee. It is a very good price, isn't it? He's a man in form as well. Why are Villa favourites for this game? It defies belief.
I was
really
just thinking
good.
That, Derek, the prices don't really correlate with recent form.
No, well, 7 straight, Lee mentioned 6, I think it's 7 straight defeats for Villa. They've been, you know, deserved to lose in all of them. And, you know, the fact that everything I've said about Tim Sherwood has been borne out, hasn't it? I mean, he's arrived there and they've actually got worse, Villa, in 2 performances. They've been absolutely rotten. And you look at that squad, you know, if one of us 3 had inherited that squad from Paul Lambert, you've got the Belgian striker. Like, Bon Lahore used to play for England. Fabian Delft's in there. Tom Cleverley playing for England recently. You know, this isn't a gang of Muppets. This is a side that could do well at Premier League level, you'd think, looking at it on paper. And yet, first Lambert and now Sherwood have ruined them. They're going nowhere but down, aren't they, Villa? And I can't imagine any single punter wanting to back them to win this game, a local derby. I mean, I think I read somewhere Sherwood wants eventually to take Villa into the top half. I think he means the top half of the West Midlands, because the way they are right now, they're just a joke. But Lee has highlighted the worry about backing West Brom on their travels. Any team managed by Tony Pulis on their travels, he considers, like an Italian team, a point away from home as a reason for celebration. And, you know, I can see that the same here again. If he gets a point here, I think he'll be delighted. To be honest, I don't think Villa would be that distraught either. Draw for me.
Two draws then, 19-10 the draw. Aston Villa 17-10, West Brom in the market at 15-8. Next up on Tuesday night, it's Southampton versus Crystal Palace, 7:45 p.m. kickoff. Southampton 3-4, the draw 23-10. Crystal Palace in the market at 9-2. Palace have now won their last three Premier League games away from home after that 3-1 win at Upton Park on Saturday lunchtime. And they're playing a Southampton team here, Derek, lacking in any real confidence at the moment. Yeah. They haven't scored at home since Dusan Tadic's strike. That was against Arsenal on New Year's Day. And lost to West Brom at the weekend, bitterly disappointing for Southampton.
I know, and you look at the odds, it just defies belief again. Bookies seem to love the Saints almost as much as they love me. I mean, odds on again, and you just don't see how they are. I mean, they failed to beat, I think, West Ham at home this season. They failed to beat Swansea at home this season. They failed to beat West Brom at home this season. All went long odds on. And I'm back in Palace here at 9-2, just as I did in the FA Cup about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Remember that one? They won 3-2 at Southampton. I made it my bet of the day. And you know, the form they're in right now, that result for them at West Ham at the weekend, when we suspected it might be a bit of an end of season clash for West Ham, it looked that way. Certainly not for Palace. They were full value for the 3-1 win, and I just don't see why they are around a 5-1, 9-2 mark. I just don't see it. I really don't. Everyone will be back in Palace here, including me.
Crystal Palace 9-2. That was that amazing day, wasn't it? That day in the FA Cup in the fourth round, which was there were some big bets landed, but it was a bookies benefit day, really. All those outsiders winning in the fourth round of the FA Cup.
Yeah, cigars were lit, weren't they?
They were.
Bonuses were banked. It was one of those days, wasn't it? I find it difficult to disagree with anything Derek said there, really. I mean, I was a little bit concerned about that Southampton stat that we gave before the weekend, where they scored one goal from 65 shots. Make that one goal from 78 shots on goal now in the last five. Don't know what's going on. I mean, I don't know why they can't score. I mean, I guess, you, like I said before the weekend, you could argue that sooner or later they might get a bag full, you know, but it just, when you've got a price like 9-2 about a Palace team who, you know, he's got them going away from home. I mean, you know, like we said, he was sat in the stands for the Dover win, but they went to Burnley and won, they went to Southampton and won, they went to Leicester and they've been to West Ham. I mean, they're scoring goals, the 100% record. Why desert them now? I might be a little bit of a cautious Colin here and surprise, surprise, and take Palace in the draw. Palace plus one at 11-10 I think that's a nice bet, because, you know, you're getting two results about a team who are flying against a team who seem to be losing their confidence by the game. You know, they're sixth place now, 46 points. You know, Derek made that argument before the weekend that they could even finish outside, or I think you were saying around 10th, maybe even outside the top 10. You know, Stoke, the form team of the Premier League, or one of the form teams of the Premier League at the minute, they could overtake them. You know, they're 7 points away from them at the moment if they continue in the same vein of form. So, yeah, I'll go plus one. There's a little bit of a worry that Glenn Murray's obviously out because he got sent off at the weekend. He got two of the goals, didn't he, at the weekend? And he's been scoring goals. But I think they'll just carry on what they're doing. Jednak came back at the weekend. I think he's a massive player for them. That's another game under his belt. A bit more match fitness. I think he's such a focal point for this team, and he adds so much to it. I mean, I think, you know, Derek, when you look, Jednak sitting in the middle of the park, orchestrating things. You've got Zaha, Puncheon, Much, Bolasie, and Gael up front.
Yeah.
It's not bad, that, is
match
it?
Match winners, isn't it? It's
not
match
bad.
Winners. Yep.
I mean, there's pace on the break when, you know, Southampton are a bit ponderous, and, you know, we saw them what they were like against Swansea. You know, I can see why anyone going for 9-2 wouldn't put them off. I'm just a little bit concerned about Southampton's defence being as good as it is. We all know how good defensively they are. You know, they don't allow that many shots on their goal. So if they're just looking for a point here, they're the best team in the league in terms of allowing shots on goal. 9 shots a game they allow their opponents. And we all know how brilliant they've been defensively at home all season. They've conceded just barely any goals, really. Just great, So that's a worry for me. The fact that they might just batten down the hatches and manage to keep Palace at bay. So plus one.
And when I said that Southampton and West Brom will finish further apart than they are now before the weekend in terms of point, I didn't mean that. I was just joking.
As the presenter, you can sit on the fence and throw crazy statements out there to see what reaction you get. That's what you were doing, wasn't
That's
it?
That's exactly what I was doing, of course.
Playing devil's advocate, that's
of
fine.
Of course. Southampton 3-4, the draw 23-10. Derek going with Crystal Palace at 9-2. The other game Tuesday night is Hull versus Sunderland. Hull 23-20, the draw 21-10, Sunderland 13-5. Adama Ndoye to score and Hull to win is 7-2. Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win in the market at 6-1. Interesting stat ahead of this match, Lee. Steve Bruce has 5 successive wins as coach in this fixture. Right. First 2 as Sunderland boss, the last 3 as Hull manager. And I think he'll see this as an ideal opportunity to make it 6 straight with Hull here, because Sunderland look there for the taking at the moment.
Yeah, they're a strange side, aren't they? I mean, I thought they defended all right in the first half against Man U. But they don't offer an awful lot, do they? That's the problem. And, away from home, they've lost the last 2 now, one to United and one to Bradford City. You look at the Premier League away form and away from home, and it's just not great. The Newcastle win was probably the highlight of their season. They got spanked 8-0 by Southampton. They've had a few draws, and I think they'll probably go away and try and draw this game as well. They just need to keep ticking over Sunderland. They've got 25 points at the minute. They just need to keep picking up draws, and the odd win at home would probably see them safe, I guess. They're only 3 points from the drop zone, and obviously the more games we get and they don't get a point, then the more difficult it becomes. I mean, Hull are only on 26 points, let's not forget. There's a lot more positivity around Hull because they've won 3 of the last 4 home games.
Yep.
Everton, Villa and QPR. So if they can beat Everton, Villa and QPR, I don't see Sunderland having much more than that. I'm happy to go with Hull here. It's just the price at 23-20 doesn't fill me full of much confidence. I know Derek's not a huge fan of this player, but I quite like Nikita Jelovic, and I think he's a hard working player who gets, who gets about and he's finishing goals at the minute. Scored in each of those 3 home games. I think I'd rather back him at 29-20 to score here than Hull at 23-20.
Okay, Hull 23-20 and Nikita Jelovic to score anytime at 29-20. We'll talk more about Manchester United in a second, Derek, but a team with a little bit more substance than Sunderland would have gone there and got at least a point at the weekend.
But bereft of ambition, Sunderland, and bereft of confidence. Case of mistaken identity as well at the weekend hit them. I mean, someone mistook them for the Premier League team. I don't know how that happened. You look at them and you look at the way they play and you wonder how they ever win a game, and then you realise that they don't. I mean, they don't have match winners in the side. They just have match drawers. I think this is a nailed-on draw because, I'm fed up trying to get Hull right. I just can't. And you look at the way they are now, with 26 points and 25 points in the Premier League, 4 clubs below them on 22 points or fewer. I've got a sneaking feeling that both managers are thinking, hang on, if we start getting a point a game from here, we're okay. The ones below, they all can't overtake us. And I don't think there'll be any ambition in this game whatsoever. The draw for me looks nailed on. A low scorer as well.
The 0-0 draw 7-1, the 1-1 draw 11-2, the draw just on the outright 21-10. Let's move on to Wednesday's games then and start with the live match, which is Newcastle versus Manchester United. Newcastle 3-1, the draw 21-10, Manchester United 21-20. Papi Cissé to score and Newcastle to win is 7-1. Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win in the market at 7-2. Derek, Man United still 4th in the Premier League table following that win at the weekend against Sunderland. And it needs to be stated that they have only lost 2 of their last 17 in the Premier League. But some of their recent performances have been absolutely abysmal. And I think a lot of people reckon it's only a matter of time before they slip out of that top 4.
Well, it is. I thought, you know, when this bulletin began, I thought to myself, 21 to 20 United, I'll be having some of that. But in the last 20 minutes of change, I'm going to go for Newcastle.
What's been said?
I've no idea. But it's just the fact that it's John Carver managing Newcastle that tempers my enthusiasm a little bit. I mean, we said Newcastle and Villa at the weekend with Carver and Sherwood was dumb and dumber. Well, this is with Louis Van Flatface. It's thumb and dumber, isn't it? old thumb face Van Gaal. I just can't bring myself to back United. They keep getting results, but every time I watch them, they keep getting worse as well. I mean, he's managing to do what Fergie did, you know, getting results while playing abysmally, but Fergie was winning titles. He's trying to get a top four place. I can't believe that Newcastle will have a better chance of beating Man United than they will have on Wednesday night. They've got a little win under the belt against Villa. Okay, it wasn't pretty, but it was the first home win, I think, under Carver. And the 3-1 to beat a bog-standard Premier League team at St James's Park. I'm going to have some of that. I'm sorry. That's the reason it's 3-1.
Newcastle 3-1 for Derek. You mentioned Alex Ferguson getting results when his team were playing badly. I think he got the best out of his players, though, didn't he, Ferguson?
Van Thumbface is getting the worst out of his players.
He is.
Every single Man United player has got worse under him.
Angel Di Maria pulled off after 45 minutes as well at the weekend, Lee. There's no confidence there, is there?
No, he's not. I mean, you know, for such a fantastic player, he seems to really lost his confidence. I mean, it'll come back, obviously. Anyone who watched him, you know, playing in La Liga knows that he's a sensational player and at the World Cup. So it will come back. It's just that I get the sense that the fans and, you know, people around the club almost want this season over and done with. You know, I think... And look, Van Gaal's not hiding, is he? Someone asked him, I think on the Five Live or on Match of the Day, they asked him after the game, how close are you to get this team being the team that you want and the way they're playing? He said, well, miles off. He said, it's just a slow process. He's got a long contract. He knows what he wants to achieve. And I think, you know, I guess they're getting closer, but someone described it as an insipid win.
Yes,
that's exactly what it was. I mean, hard to watch.
The board want that top four player, though, don't they? Will be a failure if he doesn't get into the Champions League.
Yeah, but they've done nothing really wrong in terms of they're there, aren't they? Yeah, you can't ask for more than what he's doing. They're not going to win the title, obviously. I mean, their away form has been the thing that's really alarmed me this season. How bad they've been in terms of their creating chances. Even at, you know, Cambridge in the FA Cup, they struggled. I think this is going to be a draw. There seems to be a lot of draws on the coupon if we're right this week. But I think Newcastle almost set up for a draw here, and I don't think Man United create enough or are able to break teams down well enough. There is a bet that this is an absolute flyer, but Pepe Cissé has got a really good record against Man U in his time at Newcastle. He scored in the usually in defeat. He scored in the League Cup against Man U in 2012. He scored one of the three goals when they were beaten 4-3 at Old Trafford. He also scored in the game at Old Trafford this season when he got a penalty in the 87th minute. So I like Cissé to score in the game. You know those, I don't know if you've seen these, Derek, but at the bottom of most of the matches now, I think it might be all the midweek matches, actually, in the other markets, there's a load of new kind of specials, if you like. There's correct score group betting, which is quite nice, a bit like the boxing group round betting. Yeah. But there's a score a header. And given Man United's kind of defensive frailties, 13-2 for Cissé to score a header. Quite like that. He's great in the air, Cissé. Yeah. But I mean, that's just a flyer. I'd just take him to score a goal in the match. I don't really. I'm not willing to commit to a result, but I do think it'll be a draw. He is the headline offer, by the way, Cissé to score in Newcastle win at 7-1. But 23-10 on his home ground. If Newcastle are going to score, I'm willing to think that he's the most likely to do it because they haven't got many goals in them. So 23-10.
And just in addition to that, a stat from Opta. Pepe Cissé has the best minutes per goal rate in the Premier League this season. Minimum 4 goals to qualify for that particular stat. He's got one every 84 minutes.
Well, very good. I was going to unleash that stat, but I thought I would bore you all.
Well, yeah, just leave it for me. Yes. Pepe Cissé, 23-10 to score any time, and Derek going with Newcastle at 3-1. On to the non-televised games this midweek on Wednesday, and we'll start with Tottenham versus Swansea. Tottenham 4-5, the draw 23-10, and Swansea in the market at 4-1. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is 2-1. Abafotimbi Gomis to score and Swansea to win in the market at 7-1. Lee, suddenly only 4 points separate these two sides in the league. Spurs do have that game in hand, though. a disappointing performance in the League Cup final, Capital One Cup final against Chelsea, though. They lost their composure early on in that game, I thought, Lee, and they were bullied by Chelsea. Just wonder how they'll respond to that loss in this match.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? We've looked at this before, Nick, haven't we? Like, look back and see what happens to League Cup finalists after the event. It's usually the team who wins it who go on a bit of a bad run. To be honest,
Swansea wasn't it last year or the year before? Swansea went on a terrible run afterwards.
I think he'll get them back on this time. I mean, it's a strange one, isn't it? Because they've had a torrid week, really. If you think about, like, I think it was just all a bit much for Pochettino and his players. The Thursday night game in Fiorentina, he tried to be a bit clever with it. I'd have just played each game and played it on merit. And I think, you know, if Ron Atkinson was still on this podcast, he'd have said that. I think, you know, a bit old-fashioned. But, you know, I put myself in a footballer's shoes and think, all right, so I'm going to Fiorentina on Thursday night in a Europa League game where we've got a genuine chance of getting through.
Yep.
We've got a League Cup final. What's wrong with that? This would be the game where it probably become difficult. And I do worry about that. I do worry about backing them at odds on when the manager seems to have given them a bit of an excuse about talking about it so much. Don't talk about it. Just get on with playing football. So that's a worry to me. I think Tottenham will win this game. I don't think Swansea will be able to cope with them. But that is a concern for me. I was going to go for the headline offer, Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win.
But
it's just...
If you fancy Tottenham, I think that
yeah, you've got to go for
it. A lot of talk about Harry Kane and his leadership qualities and him being a big influence in the dressing room. This is a point in the season where he's got to step up, and 12 goals in his last 11 Premier League matches. If you fancy Spurs, that 2-1 on him to score and Spurs to win, when you compare that to the 4-5 on Spurs to win the match, looks like decent value.
Yeah, I'll go for that, but with a little bit of hesitation. I do like Tottenham. I do like them at home. I mean, obviously, you know, they only drew with West Ham, didn't they, after that European game, and they do seem to be running out of steam. Do you know what? No, I won't. I'm going to go for the draw. I'm saying one thing, and then I'm going to back the other. I'm going for the draw here.
Okay. You've really filled listeners with confidence, Harry.
I just don't know where Tottenham are in terms of the fitness and the fatigue.
Well, they've always been the fittest, haven't they? That's what Pochettino has been going on about, how they finish games. That's why they keep winning 2-1 in the 88th minute. They'll win this as well because, I mean, Tottenham, okay, they have disappointments on Sunday, and they were really, they were put in a place. I went for Tottenham at the weekend, but after half-time, they never got a kick, really. But they're playing a Swansea side who, come on, if any team out of 20 in the Premier League have got a gift now, between now and the end of the season, just a cakewalk, it's them. You look at their position, and they are the epitome of a mid-table team going nowhere, up or down. Okay, Gary Monk the manager might have other ideas, but I just can't see what's in it for them. We're at Tottenham, but they're still desperate for the top four place. They're a better side as well. And, you know, before that, the two recent blips, they haven't been doing that badly. 7 wins from home this season. Swansea's form away from home, not great, is it? Only 12 goals scored away from home, Swansea, in 13 games. I think Tottenham are 4-5 to win this game, incidentally, and they're also 4-5 with Hills to win at QPR at the weekend, the only Premier League game played this weekend. Now, I would say they're much more likely to beat Swansea at home than QPR away.
Okay, Tottenham 4-5 for Derek. Lee going with the draw at 23-10, and Swansea 4-1 in that match. Man City next, 2-7 Manchester City. They take on Leicester at the Etihad. Leicester are 11-1, and the draw is 4-1.
Can I start this one, Dave? Because I was watching that Liverpool City game yesterday, and it was a fantastic game, one of the most enjoyable games I remember for a long time, and Liverpool were fantastic. But I can't believe the stick City have got, because for long periods I thought they were sensational too. Yeah, I know the manager's had all kinds of stick from the pros about the naivety of his selections, and they were open at the back and companies not getting any cover from his midfield, blah-de-blah-de-blah. But whenever they attacked, I was watching it with my hands over my eyes. I thought they looked sensational going forward. And I think they will absolutely murder Leicester on Wednesday night. I reports of their demise have been greatly exaggerated. Because from what I saw on Sunday, I think I'm in a minority of one in saying this. But I thought City were great. I really did. I'm going to back them on all kinds of handicaps this weekend. City minus 2 goals is almost 2-1, 17-10. I'm going to put my betting boots on, the ones with the high heels, and I'm going to lump on that all day long.
Man City minus 3, incidentally, is 4-1 in the matchup. I think you are, Derek. I think you are in the minority of one, because a lot of people, Lee, thought that Liverpool completely dominated that match and overran Manchester City in midfield in particular. Coutinho was outstanding. I know Coutinho's a player you love, Derek. He was outstanding again, wasn't
what he? What a player. He's everything that you want in a footballer. He is a proper player. Now, I noticed that it's not. I don't think Hill's an issue in prices. I noticed that Harry Kane is 1-3 favourite, with somewhere around to be the young PFA Young Player of the Year. But Jesus Christ, Coutinho's got to be in with a shout of beating him, hasn't he? If he's 1-3 Kane, what price is Coutinho? Got to be at least fives, I would imagine. Got to be worth a bet.
Lee?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't entirely disagree with what Derek's saying. I think what happens with these. Instead of giving Liverpool all the credit, what happens on... I think we're probably talking about match today and Robbie's analysis, aren't we? You know, Robbie's want to go a little bit overboard. I think that's fair to say, isn't it? Rather than saying, look, there's some problems, it's like they're the worst team in the history of the world. You know, they look lazy to me. That's what they look like. They look like they're a bit tired. Look like they'd had a hard week and Liverpool were just too fresh for them. Seems a strange thing to say when Liverpool have been back to Turkey and back and only got back at 4:30 in the morning on the Friday. But Liverpool have got a lot of...
They've got a younger
pace.
Team.
Yeah.
They've got
yeah.
a younger team, haven't they? And yeah. I think for the first time, we saw Yaya Toure really being exposed by Jordan Henderson. I thought that was a key battle in that matchup. And Henderson looked like he is the younger of the two players. He looked fresher, fitter and more energised in that matchup. And I think he dominated that midfield battle.
Yeah. But the other thing is that when they were showing the analysis of the match today, and they showed a few examples where the midfield three or four, if you include all four of them, had kind of had pushed up but hadn't got back. Then he showed us it didn't happen like every minute of the game, did it? It happened on certain occasions, and that's when Liverpool had opportunities, understandably. But I just think it was a little bit lazy from Man City. I agree with Eric, though, about this. You know, this is a great game for them to get back on track. You know, Leicester have conceded two at Everton, two at Villa, two at Villa, two at Arsenal, three at Man U. You know, two at Liverpool, two at West Ham, two at Villa again in the Premier League, three at QPR. You know, I could go on. You know, they're one of the worst teams in the division for allowing shots on goal away from home. We know Man City, one of the best teams in front of goal and creating chances. I think City will have a field day, and I think Aguero will be the chief protagonist in that. 14-1 for a Sergio Aguero hat trick. I like that. I think Leicester will set up to try and stifle them with that 5-4-1 system. It ain't working. You know, Leicester don't need points. They need 3 points. They don't need a point. I mean, they need 3 points. So if they are ambitious and go for it, I think it'll be even worse for them. I'm looking at Man City getting back on track here. The problem with them is that they're very slow starters. That's the, you know, they always like...
Well, against Newcastle, their last home game, they came out the traps flying.
Well, they got that penalty early on, and then they just collapsed, didn't they, Newcastle? I need that to happen again. I need them to start quick. I think they probably will do. I think they'll have been stung into action because realistically now the title's over with, and they just need to get some confidence going before they have to play Barcelona again. And they've got two games. They've got this game, and then they've got Burnley away. It's a really good couple of games to get the confidence going, get some goals in the bag, and then go into Barcelona firing. Remember, they only beat them 1-0, Man City at Leicester. So Leicester did a bit of a job on them then, couldn't quite see it out. I think they'll win and win comfy here. Like Derek said, all the handicaps. And I'll go for Sergio Aguero at 14s for the hat-trick.
Good stuff. QPR versus Arsenal next. QPR 6-1, the draw 5-2, Arsenal 4-7. A credit where it's due, Lee. Good shout on Olivier Giroud to score any time at the weekend.
I think I said first goal, but you know.
Yeah, hello. You might have got first goal at 5-1 as well. Big winner, Everton. 2-0 at home against Everton on Sunday. They've not won back-to-back Premier League games this season, Arsenal. And they've won just one of their last six away at QPR in recent seasons as well. Not been a happy hunting ground for the Gunners, and I think there's a chance here for QPR to cause a shock, given they've had that long spell where perhaps Chris Ramsey has maybe got hold of them a little bit.
Yeah.
Long spell without a game.
Yeah, maybe. It's hard for me to think that QPR can beat Arsenal, though. That they haven't won back-to-back away games, have they?
That's it.
You meant, yeah. Yeah, 6-1. It looks a tasty price, doesn't it, for against an Arsenal team who maybe again may be a little fatigued. And like you say, you know, the consistency has been lacking. They're away at Palace, they won 2-1, but were lucky to do so. I mean, I thought the performance against Everton, I mean, it looks comfy on the face of it, but for a long time they were winning 1-0, and Everton could have quite easily drawn level. And this is an Everton team who were pretty bereft of confidence themselves in the Premier League. God, it's a tricky one. There's QPR. That they haven't been good enough. If they'd won a game recently at home, I'd be happier to back them. They lost to Man United, they lost to Southampton. They're only tight games. But I think this one will be another tight one, to be honest with you. I don't think it's going to be an easy stroll in the park for Arsenal. I think QPR, as you say, will have added a bit more time to rest up. I can see them scoring. I think if I was going for a bet on Arsenal, I'd go Arsenal to win and both teams to score at 21-10. But I quite like Charlie Austin at 2-1 to score in this game. He's the only man who really does score for them. And you know he's obviously been he scored in their last game, the away game at Hull City as well. So I do like that. I think they'll get it done, Arsenal. But you know my in my betting bible, it's got even less pages than Derek's. But I don't back Arsenal. I don't anymore.
Well, not 4-7.
No.
Well, I mentioned the QPR v Tottenham at the weekend. Tottenham are 4-5 to win a QPR at the weekend. Arsenal at 4-7. I mean, I'm sorry, but I'd rather be on Tottenham at almost evens than Arsenal at 4-7. I think it's a terrible price. They played 14 games away from home in the league this season, Arsenal, failed to win in 8 of them. You know, and the 4-7 against the QPR side who've had a break. I'm in the camp of many men in the street who think, well, come on, the Premier League footballers must be able to play 2 games in, etc., etc. But they keep saying, don't they? These professionals keep on saying, no, it takes it out of them, so we've got to believe it does. I'm almost tempted by the 6-1. I think, Dave, I know that you're going to go for that.
Yeah.
It's 6-4 almost, 29-20 for QPR or the draw. And I know instinctively I want to oppose Arsenal, and I'll oppose it that way. I'll be cautious, Colin.
I don't expect that from you, Derek. I expect it from Lee. I don't expect that from you.
I know. It's just QPR.
He's finally seen the light, hasn't he?
Yeah. Go on then, QPR.
It's so hard to win over. Brilliant.
West Ham versus Chelsea next. Then West Ham 4-1, the draw 3-1, Chelsea 8-13. Diafa Sakho to score, and the Hammers to win is 8-1. Diego Costa to score, and Chelsea to win 7-4. Let's talk about Diego Costa, Derek.
Oh, come on, not again.
Well, did
he still want to admit how brilliant he is?
No, well, I mean, his performance at the weekend, he antagonised Tottenham from the outset, didn't he?
Well, yeah, but, oh, come on. You're not saying that. How much did he cost him? So you're getting a bully boy to play up front. I mean, you get The Rock to play up front of there, then.
The Rock. Brilliant.
Oh, come on.
Have you been watching wrestling again, Derek?
The Rock.
No, the reason I like The Rock is that he was supposed to be. I don't know whether you've read these reports. You know, Cristiano Ronaldo's finished with that tasty Israeli model he was supposed to have been shacked up with.
Yeah.
Well, the reason he's supposed to have finished with that, if he was ever with her in the first place, is that she's getting cozy with The Rock.
Oh, really?
You wouldn't.
Go between The Rock and a hard anyway,
that's the classic after dinner joke, isn't it? If you found The Rock in bed with your missus, you'd tuck him in, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Anyway, go back to Costa. I'm sorry. I actually think he looks out of place in the Premier League. Honestly, I keep watching and thinking, am I going to be proven wrong here? And I do not see anything. But, you know, I'm in a minority of one. Getting to this game, West Ham 4-1, Chelsea 8-13. I mean, I should fight shy of Chelsea at 8-13, given I fought shy of Arsenal 4-7 at QPR. But the way West Ham performed at the weekend...
That was shocking, wasn't it?
It was abysmal. And it follows not long after an equally abysmal performance at Liverpool in a 2-0 defeat. I watched that game on a Saturday afternoon, and they just never tried a leg. And maybe I got it wrong when I mentioned Swansea being given a gift pass to take it easy, because surely West Ham have as well. Nothing, you know, they've got a manager who looks as though he's going at the end of the season. I'm convinced he will be gone. They're not going to go up, they're not going to go down. I've got to go for Chelsea. Sorry, I know it's short, but I've got to go for them.
Yeah, 8-13 Chelsea. They do look like they've checked out West Ham. I mean, Alex Song, who's had an incredible, or was having a wonderful season, he looked completely disinterested at the weekend. They failed to score in 5 of their last 6 Premier League matches against Chelsea as well, including the last 4 in a row. And they didn't have a single shot on target when the teams met back on Boxing Day. Chelsea 8-13. Arguably be shorter.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's a good price. You know, this Chelsea team who just need to keep winning now, don't they? And you know, really just keep up picking up points here and there. I'm going to add a little bit of value in there, despite those stats about them not scoring. I think Chelsea to win and both teams to score is the bet here. I mean, Chelsea's away form hasn't been too clever. They've kept two clean sheets all season away from home. One of those was at Sunderland when they drew 0-0. One of those was at Swansea when they late January when they pasted them 5-0. They scored after a minute. And some mug called Diego Costa got two first half goals. Lucky, I think one came off his backside. The other one was an own goal, really. But yeah, so I mean, yeah,
one of the weekend was an own goal.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
You're right, it was.
So I think the 8-13 is a great price. I think they will win the game. I'm going to trust West Ham to bounce back a little bit from that because they were. I mean, how poor were they? I thought they'd be much better against Palace than they were. To bounce back, Sacco to score in the game would be the one. But I mean, just to go back over that, this is just Premier League. You know, Chelsea have conceded at Villa, at Southampton, at Newcastle. They conceded two at Liverpool, at Man U, at Crystal Palace, at City, of course. Three at Everton, conceded at Burnley as well. There was another clean sheet that I omitted, actually. They kept a clean sheet at Stoke with the customary 2-0. So, yeah, so Chelsea to win and both teams to score is 5-2. And as for scorers, I do like Sacco, 23-10. And if you have a look at those special markets again, Sacco to score with a header isn't bad. Great header of the ball. To score with a header is... Oh, is it not available on this one? It will be eventually. They'll put it in eventually. I think some of the Wednesday night games haven't got to the header prices. The other one that I liked was to score from outside the area. Yeah. It's not on this game, but I thought, like, how many goals does Coutinho score from outside the area,
that's
for instance?
Score, yeah.
You know, look at, and someone like Defoe as well for Sunderland, he's got a lot of games. Ericsson, you know, I think if you're looking to back someone any time, I think it's worth having a look in those other markets at the bottom there for different types of goals they can score. And as we know, West Ham have scored more headed goals than anyone in the Premier League, blah, blah, blah. So, plain and simple, for the cautious Collins, Chelsea 8-13. For the more adventurous, like me, Chelsea 5-2 with both teams scoring.
Stoke versus Everton next. Stoke 8-5, the draw 21-10, Everton 9-5 here with William Hill. Liam, surprised to see Stoke as big as they are really at 8-5 when you compare that with Everton at 9-5. They just can't get it going in the Premier League, Everton, despite those exploits in the Europa League. Only 6 wins after 27 games for Everton. That's the least they've achieved since the days of Walter Smith back in the late 90s. This is a disappointing season for Everton in the Premier League.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean,
bitterly disappointing.
And they're still not, you know, obviously they're not going to go down, are they? We don't think they are, but you know, they still probably need another 9 points to assure safety. We quoted their away percentage of points before the weekend, and that's obviously got worse since then because they lost the game to Arsenal. Weren't too bad against Arsenal. Did create chances. Lukaku really should have scored. I think Lukaku doesn't score enough goals for the amount of chances he gets, actually. I think you can maybe start to see why Mourinho did let him go and what didn't give him the chance at Chelsea. Don't think he's quite ruthless enough for me, and they need his goals desperately. I mentioned about Stoke being the third in the Premier League table since Christmas. Played 10, won 6, drawn 2, lost 2, scored 13 against 11. Not brilliant, but you know, picked up in terms of goal scoring and conceding, but picked up 20 points, which is third behind Liverpool and Arsenal. Everton are 16th in that table. They've won 1, drawn 4, lost 4, scoring 6 and conceding 10. So just 7 points since Christmas for Everton. And they really struggled to score goals on the road. Stoke are right up there with the amount of goals they score from chances created. But I think Everton will go for the draw here. I think they might get one as well because I just think these teams are... There's 11 points between these two teams, but I think they're probably a bit closer to that in terms of when you see them on the pitch. I think they're quite similar, these teams, in terms of their standard. I'll go for... It's the best price of the three, and I can see it being a draw. So 21-10 for Everton to pick up a badly needed point.
Yeah, I can see that too. I can see. I mean, I thought Everton were... You're not giving Everton enough credit.
Yeah, probably were better than I said, Arsenal, weren't they? Yeah.
He could easily have gone ahead there. Arsenal didn't... The result flattered the Gunners, definitely. Yeah. And I said before that game, I've just sensed that Everton are on an upward curve. Okay, the result was a bad one for them, but the performance was a lot better than they've been putting in for most of the season. And I think they're going to be one of those teams between now and the end of the season that you won't go far wrong if you nail your colours to their mast. But it worries me that the draw price is bigger than the Everton price here, because Stoke's not an easy place to win at. And they are in good form, as you say. I've just got a feeling that Martinez, he's not a kind of guy who normally, in previous clubs and previous guys, would go away and hope for a draw, but needs must. And that's what he'll do this weekend. He did it at Arsenal, he did it at Chelsea a few weeks ago, and he'll do it again here. I think it's a nailed-on draw, this one.
The draw there for both Derek and Lee, 21-10.
I'd go a bit further and go low scorer as well. I don't see it being like a 2-2. So, you know, you could, if you want a little bit more value, the draw and under 2.5 probably would be worth looking at. You know, Everton don't score that many away from home. And Stoke, despite their ability to score from limited chances, don't actually score that many either. You know, they've only scored 17 in 13 at home. Everton in their away games have only managed 14 in 14. So, 1-1 maybe as a correct score if you like correct scores.
1-1 in the match is 11-2 if you're looking at the correct score. And we finish off with Liverpool versus Burnley. Liverpool 2-5, the draw 3-1. Burnley are 9-1. We mentioned, Derek, already that superb performance against Manchester City at the weekend. Incredible performances from Philip Coutinho and Jordan Henderson, to name a couple. Joe Allen was also superb. And they've won the last 7 home games against Burnley as well, without conceding. Liverpool, they're the informed team in the Premier League, undoubtedly. 2-5 to win this match.
It's as fair a price as you're going to get, isn't it? You know, when you look a few seasons ago, you'd be getting teams like Burnley at 20-1 to win some Premier League games. You know, 9-1 is a bit tight. The reverse fixture finished 1-0 at Turf Moor around about Christmas, just before, I think it was. And Liverpool were a bit lucky to get a result that day. But that was Liverpool before Christmas. This is a different side entirely. Whatever he's done, Brendan Rodgers, it's working miracles, isn't it? And they do look irresistible right now when they're on blob. I was disappointed in their performance last week at Beşiktaş. And even when they won at Southampton, I was a little bit disappointed in their performance too. But they keep getting results, and the way they played at the weekend, how can I oppose them with Burnley? Who, by the way, even though they're 4 points ahead of Leicester, are still rated more likely to finish bottom by most bookies. Quite remarkable, that, isn't it? Liverpool. I would actually say Liverpool. Danny Ings, by the way, the Burnley's most likely scorer, looks as though he'll be on his way to Liverpool in the summer. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs. But Liverpool to win 2-0 is the way I'm looking at it. And I'm just looking for the price for that one. Liverpool 5-4 to win 2-0. I mean, that looks a big price to me, that.
Liverpool 5-4 to win 2-0. It will be an astonishing achievement from Sean Dyche if he manages to keep this Burnley side up. They've now gone 6 without a win in the Premier League. I suppose the only possible chance Burnley have is if Liverpool suffer a little bit of mental letdown after that win at the weekend. Just can't see it happening, really.
No, they. Just the way they play, it's so enjoyable to watch, isn't it? It's kind of going back to what it was like last season. You know, when they were all playing for each other. I think, you know, again, it was mentioned on Match of the Day too, that if you look on paper at the two teams that played, Liverpool and Man City, you'd obviously say that Man City have got far more players you'd get in Liverpool's side than vice versa. But it's not about that. You know, the one thing you know about Brendan Rodgers is that he seems to be very good at creating this fantastic atmosphere within a squad. You know, everyone always raved about that at Swansea, and he seems to have done that at Liverpool. All right, they've had the problems, but if you think about it this season, he's had to cope with, you know, with getting rid of Gerrard effectively out of the team. Gerrard's not playing, is he? And no one's mentioning it, Derek.
No.
Gerrard is nowhere to be seen, is he?
Well, the thought occurred to me at the weekend when watching the Liverpool City game, and heretical though it was, that they look a much more vibrant side now without him. They look, you know, I mean, what an unbelievable player, Gerrard, one of the best ever to play for Liverpool. But maybe he slows it down a little bit.
Yeah, and maybe the likes of Henderson are a little bit inhibited. Someone, I can't remember who it was, but one of the football pundits said recently, if you're in a team with a world-class player, even if he's just gone past his best, and you get the ball, and Gerrard stood next to you, you give Gerrard the ball.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Well, Henderson's now thinking, I've got other places to go. I can look around, and you know, they're finding it. I think, definitely. But what I'm saying is, Brendan Rodgers had to deal with quite a lot this season. The loss of Suarez, the loss of Gerrard, and managing to kind of do that in a good PR way, if you like. And I think it's fantastic. I don't think he'll allow them to sit back on the laurels here. 11 to 10 for them to finish in the top four, by the way, looks a fantastic price to me still. I mean, we've been putting that up quite a lot of the season at much bigger prices than that. When remember, there were bigger price in Southampton, remember that?
Wow.
It always looked like Liverpool would overtake Southampton eventually, you know, especially when they got on this run. It's just what happens. There's a better squad. Liverpool, 2 points behind Man United at the moment. Get on current form, you'd imagine they would overtake them. So that looks decent, and I think they'll win well here. I think they'll, you know, it's a very short price. I'll be going in many an acca, the 2-5 Liverpool to beat Burnley. You know, Burnley do concede an awful lot of goals on the road, and Liverpool have started to really score, haven't they? As well. So you know, you're looking at the goals prices over 2.5 is 8-13. I think I'd rather play that than the Liverpool win. I think Liverpool will win, but then you could obviously also pair Liverpool win and over 2.5 goals. I think they could win to nil and put three past Burnley the way they're playing. And I think it's about time that if Sturridge starts, that Sturridge started to get amongst them as well. So 100-30 on Sturridge, two or more. You know, I think he needs once he starts to come back into scoring form, I think that top four position looks great. Mm. Really do.
Okay, chaps, let's finish off with the naps this midweek then. Do we do the naps on a...
Right, we might as well.
We've got a full Premier League list, well, haven't we?
Yeah.
Derek, do you want to kick us off?
No, let Lee.
Okay. Mr. Phelps.
Thanks so much for that. I think I'm going to stick with the Liverpool game, and I think I'm going to go for Liverpool. Liverpool to win an over 2.5 goals in the match. Will that go into a treble, DK, do you think?
I think it should do.
So, Liverpool win and over 2.5 goals in a match at 17-20. I think I think they'll give a really good account of themselves again, and I think they'll just cut Burnley to shreds. I didn't go through Burnley's away goals, but you know they only considered that one at Chelsea when they shut down Chelsea. But Chelsea were strange that day, if you ask me. Before that, they considered three at United, two at Sunderland, three at Newcastle, two at City, and they scored in a lot of those games as well. So Liverpool to win and over 2.5 goals in the match for me.
Now I'm going. Derek. I'm going with QPR. At 6-1.
Wow!
I think it's a huge price. People have quickly glossed over Arsenal's deficiencies against Monaco, given that 2-0 win against Everton at the weekend. QPR have had a big rest. I think that will pay off in this match on Wednesday, and I think QPR will win. So 6-1 QPR for me.
Well, it's going to be a big one because I'm going to go for Palace at 9-2 to win at Southampton.
Okay,
a big treble that one.
Remember, always play as a Trixie, folks.
Especially this week.
That's 70-1 the treble.
Very nice.
Liverpool winning over 2.5 goals, 17-20. QPR at 6-1, and Crystal Palace at 9-2.
And if one of the doubles lands,
yep.
That double is 37.5-1.
That will do one.
Palace and QPR. So even if that's the only, if mine didn't win, which I mean, it's crazy talk, isn't it? But it's well worth playing the tricks here, I think, even if it doesn't land.
Thank you, Derek.
Cheers, lads.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
No problem. FA Cup at the weekend.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, no.
Thank you to everyone for listening as well. Remember, you can download this via iTunes and check us out on audioboom.com by typing in William Hill. Thanks for listening, folks, and we'll be back with the FA Cup this weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.